Time now for the latest world sports from the BBC with me, Adi Adedoyin, coming up.
This is Rory McIlroy getting his USPGA underway. And there you go. You can hear the sound of the tee shot, and he's unleashed it.
And it proved to be a roller coaster opening day for McIlroy, the favourite at the USPGA Championship. The details from Kentucky to come. Elsewhere, England's bowlers put them in control on day one of the fourth test against India.
Comes in, bowls, and Pankaj is bowled, and Stuart Broad has the magnificent figures of 6 for 25. 152 India have been bowled out for.
And Novak Djokovic suffers a shock defeat in the third round of a Rogers Cup.
It just happens, you know, it's one of those bad days, and sometimes you can find a way to get out of the trouble, sometimes you cannot.
More on that in a moment, but first to Kentucky and the first round of the final golf major of the year, the USPGA Championship. It was a challenging day for Tiger Woods, but much better fortunes for the favourite Rory McIlroy after a poor start. Live to correspondent Ian Carter.
Tiger Woods wasn't able to shake off the rust that's been the hallmark of his return from injury in recent weeks. It was another ragged performance. His only birdie in a 74 came courtesy of a chip-in at his seventh hole. On a day of low scoring, three over par was never going to be good enough. By contrast, the world number one, Rory McIlroy, marched on in magnificent style. Five back nine birdies made up for going out of bounds at the 10th and helped him to within a shot of the leaders, Lee Westwood, Kevin Chappell and Ryan Palmer. They were round in 65. The 64-year-old US Ryder Cup skipper Tom Watson was round in 72, but two of his likely team members, Jason Duffner and Matt Kuchar, had to withdraw through injury.
Thanks to correspondent Ian Carter down. Let's get reaction from Tiger Woods, former world number one, after a disappointing opening day.
I had plenty of looks to turn my round around and then post something even par, even under par. I didn't play as well as I wanted to, and I didn't get a putt to the hole, so that's not a good combo. If I get under par for two rounds, that'll be right in the ball game.
Next, the cricket here on the BBC World Service, and England are in a commanding position after the opening day of the fourth test against India at Old Trafford. Batting first, the visitors collapsed to 8 for 4 and were eventually bowled out for 152 in their first innings. Their captain, MS Dhoni, made 71. England paceman Stuart Broad claimed 6 wickets. James Anderson took 3. In reply, England 113 for 3 at stumps. BBC's cricket correspondent Jonathan Agnew has more.
What an opportunity England have to press on and bat India out of the game. The ball is likely to do just enough to keep the swing bowlers interested, but such is their position, England's batsmen should quickly reduce India to damage limitation. Dhoni was probably right to bat first, but it was always going to be a challenging morning. The ball swung alarmingly in the helpful conditions, and Broad and Anderson made every delivery a trial. Jordan and Wokes are new to international cricket, and while they were given an object lesson by their experienced colleagues, it also illustrated the gulf that exists between them. Dhoni's 71 was a gutsy innings, while a tally of 6 ducks in India's innings equals the world record.
England bowler Stuart Broad says the conditions could prove significant on Friday.
A brilliant test match wicket from a bowling point of view, because your nicks will carry. And if you bat well on it like Dhoni showed, and you leave well on it, you'll score runs. As I say, you felt a lot more in the game as a bowler when it was cloudy, because it swung more. When the sun came out, it lost a little bit of that zip, I think. So it was, as I say, better to bat this evening the way we did. So hopefully we'll get lucky with the conditions tomorrow and it'll be good for batting.
Staying with cricket, and Pakistan are also in a strong position going into day three of their test match against Sri Lanka in Gaul. They posted their highest first innings test match total for 8 years, 451. Yunus Khan made 177. In response, Sri Lanka closed on 99 for 1, still trailing by 352 runs. The Nigerian Football Federation say that Stephen Keshi will sign a new contract next week to continue as head coach of the national team. Keshi guided the Super Eagles to victory at the Africa Cup of Nations in 2013. And after the team's elimination from the World Cup, he told his players and the press that he was stepping down from the role after not being offered a new deal. But the situation appears to have changed. Nigerian football journalist Oluwaseuna Okeleji has been following the developments.
Stephen Keshi is comfortable with the new offer. He just wants to agree terms. And of course, he wants the NFF to respect the terms in his contract. He said he had a bitter time and terrible time with the NFF in his first stint as manager. He wants this thing ironed out. The NFF wants it sorted by next week. And I think Coach Stephen Keshi is going to put pen to paper.
The Uruguay international Luis Suarez will appeal against his four-month ban for biting at the Court of Arbitration for Sport on Friday. His legal team are hoping to have the ban halved, which will enable him to play for Barcelona before the end of the month. Some transfer news from the Premier League. The Arsenal manager Arsene Wenger has confirmed that the club have received an offer for Thomas Vermaelen from their rivals Manchester United. The Belgium international has lost his place in the Arsenal side to Per Mertesacker and Laurent Koscielny. Wenger says other teams around Europe have also expressed an interest in the defender, but he's reluctant to name names.
I can't tell you that, but you will know very soon.
From Manchester United?
I think they could be in the group. It could happen that Thomas leaves us because he needs to play now. We had an outstanding attitude and behaviour, but he's in a position where it's able to stand in his way if he finds an interesting opportunity.
The Scottish champions Celtic could be handed an incredible Champions League reprieve after UEFA launched an investigation into the eligibility of one of Legia Warsaw's players. The Polish side have confirmed they've been asked for information by the governing body following that 6-1 aggregate win. The BBC's Keredin Idisan has more.
After being thrashed 6-1 on aggregate in the qualifiers for Europe's Premier competition, Celtic's new manager Ronnie Dyla has already turned his attention to the consolation of the Europa League, but he may yet get a chance to qualify for the Champions League group stages. That's because Celtic's conquerors Legia Warsaw may have fielded an ineligible player in last night's 2-0 win at Murrayfield. The Polish champions have confirmed governing body UEFA has launched an investigation into defender Bartosz Berezinski, who was due to serve a 3-match ban but came on as a late substitute. UEFA could now award Celtic a 3-0 win, enough to take them through on away goals and give them an unexpected second life.
Hull are one round away from the group stage of the Europa League. They rallied from a goal down to beat AS Trenčín of Slovakia by 2-1 in the second leg of their qualifier. Sonia Luko scored the winner in the last 10 minutes. Watching for the BBC was Alistair Yeomans.
Hull City left it late but prevailed and learned a useful lesson in their early European journey. Behind after only 2 minutes when Thomas Malak finished well from 10 yards, Steve Bruce's men were level when Ahmed El Mohammadi headed home cleanly just before the half hour. But the away goal haunted them for another 50 minutes before substitute Shone Oluko was perfectly placed to steer home the winner after a clever nod back across the area by Robert Snodgrass. Nerve held, job done.
Well, let's hear now from the Hull City manager, Steve Bruce, who says qualifying for Europe would be a huge achievement for the club.
The club's been waiting 100 years, and a bit like the FA Cup last year, we've got to take the mantle on to say, let's go and enjoy it. So we've got to try and embrace that, enjoy it, and let's see if we can get back to into the group stages, because, mark my words, there'll be a couple of big clubs in there in Europe. And if you're a manager, coach, supporter, owner, you want to be involved in a European night. There's nothing quite like it.
And let's finish with some tennis news. And there are a number of surprising results at the Rogers Cup in Toronto on Wednesday. The men's world number one, Novak Djokovic, was eliminated in straight sets by Frenchman Joe Wilfried Tsonga. The score, 6-2, 6-2. Djokovic was at a loss to explain the manner of the defeat.
It just happens, you know. I cannot keep on trying to find that little reason why this happened. I mean, it's just one of those bad days, and sometimes you can find a way to get out of the trouble. Sometimes you cannot, and today it wasn't to be.
And Joe Wilfried Tsonga will now face Andy Murray in the quarterfinals. The Briton got a bye into the last eight after his opponent, Richard Gasquet, pulled out with stomach pains. The Australian Open champion Stanislas Wawrinka was also beaten in straight sets by Kevin Anderson. He will meet Bulgarian 7-seed Grigor Dimitrov in the quarterfinals. Stay with us if you can for further updates throughout the day. But for now, that's the latest world sport from the BBC.